All right, welcome to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez, and who are you?
That sounded very much like someone I know. Hi, I'm Nick Hodge, professional geek for Microsoft.
Professional geek. So, Nick, you want to talk about this picture? I found it on Flickr, so what's going on here?
Yeah. is that the worst one you could find, Dan?
No, it's the worst one I could put into this. But
well, I have a general policy is right. that I'm very scared about the paparazzi getting photos of me in compromising situations. So generally my rule is get compromising photographs of yourself, publish them, and then every paparazzi photo after that is going to be good.
Yeah, so it's like if you take the worst picture of yourself, then every other picture will be good in comparison.
That's correct. So that's my reasoning for that photo.
Perfect. Makes perfect sense. Now Nick is in town for Tech Ready.
That's correct.
So why don't you tell us what, for folks that have never seen this, Tech Ready, and then your impressions, thoughts.
Yep, so I'm in, as Dan said, in town for Tech Ready. My job is, you've probably seen me on 10 in the Geek Stories. My role is a sort of a technical evangelist sort of role. So every few 6 months or so, Microsoft gets all its external, you know, technical people that are out in the field, mm-hmm. and basically pumps them full of technical knowledge and information. And that's what Tech Ready is about. And it's about meeting your peers in other parts of the world, all in one place here in Seattle, and seeing some very amazing people up on stage.
Yeah, yeah. So lots of up-and-coming technology, and I think we'll cover that a little later. So, so news. Lots of stuff happened this week, too. So Microsoft did a deal with Facebook. So here's the cool part. You get live search. I don't actually know when this is going to launch, but the live search thing, to me, the interesting part is if developers, since Facebook has great APIs, if developers had a way to do live search over Facebook data programmatically for their applications.
What sort of things would you search for, Dan?
I'm just saying, like, people who have lolcat pictures that are in Seattle. So it's like you're doing a search, plus you're using Facebook fields.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, sort of like a social search thing.
Yeah.
Imagig.
So why not? Yeah, it's like, you know, you have the APIs there. You can tie them together, do search. So I have no idea if this is actually happening. We're just doing conjecture. But it'd be awesome if Facebook offered this as a service for developers.
Yeah.
So
really good.
And we'll talk about Facebook a little later, too. But now this is Mark Brown talking with Angus Logan. So
yeah, so Angus Logan, fellow Australian, now working on the live team here in Seattle.
Yes.
And Angus is a bit of a legend, as
really?
We would say. But before we get on to Angus, this is a video showing the ASP.NET control
right.
for Visual Studio 2008 to make
Virtual Earth
searches
right.
really quick. Without, you know, I'm essentially about 16 or 17 years of age. I look much older, and I put colouring in my hair because JavaScript, exactly.
Yes,
so
yes.
Drag and drop, in you go, and you can get Virtual Earth searching in your ASP.NET apps.
Yeah, so you got a bunch of addresses of customers. Boom, you just connect that SQL Server database to that control, and you
Boom.
Get the push pins.
Exactly. Boom, there it is.
All right, so let's check out the clip.
So extenders are fairly standard in ASP.NET. They just allow you to extend the functionality of a control without needing to write any actual code behind it. So we've got lots of extenders here. We've got a traffic extender for the markets where traffic's enabled. We've got like a set map style. We've got panning. But one I want to use is continuous pan. This will basically pan the map from one corner to the other corner. So what you do with Virtual Earth is you visualize geographic data that you have in some type of database, in your backend store or something that you're calling from a web service. So it's all about dropping pins or dropping shapes like a polygon or a polyline or some of that stuff.
Yep.
So we'll drag another button on here, and they're all going to be called button. You just got to remember which one it is.
Okay.
So we've got this button here, and I'm just going to double click and jump into my code behind. And now what you'll see is map one, which is that Virtual Earth ASP.NET control on the front end file on the ASPX, is accessible in the code behind. And I get tons of functionality here. So I could say map one add shape, and we're just going to add a push pin. So I'm going to say new, and it gives me the IntelliSense there for new VE shape.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of overloads here, so I want it to be a pushpin. And, I'm just going to jump back. I'm writing really sloppy code all on one line. I'm going to say new lat long. What's a lat long here? It's like
44
one
minus
122, I think. All right. Then we'll go up to Anchorage again. And we're panning, and as we come over Oregon, let's place that pin.
Angus Logan. Now, rumor has it that his parents named him after Angus Young from AC/DC.
Yeah, because they look very similar. Yes.
Very similar. But I can't get a confirmation from his parents on that one. The other thing is that if you've seen Angus present, you've probably seen him in his red shoes.
Okay, so the red shoes are...
I think they're his good luck shoes.
Okay.
And there's another rumor I heard.
All right, all right.
I suggest everyone goes and has a look in LiveSearch for a young lass called Christy Hins. She's a supermodel from Queensland, exactly the same place Angus is from.
Yes.
The rumour is that they've been seen together.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah, probably not. But the nice thing is all of us Angus Logan fans finally have a place to share these vicious rumours on Facebook. So, Angus, the ever self-promoter, built his own Angus Logan fan club on Facebook that you two can join if you've ever seen Angus present. So,
wow.
Yeah. So we're going to spread terrible rumors. We're going to Photoshop him. We're going to have him coming out of rehab holding Britney's baby. It's going to be great.
Yep. And definitely look up those Christy Hins. Yeah. And Angus Logan photos of my
name. Actually, we should, we'll pop up a picture of Christy so people can... Yeah, exactly. now on to something completely different. Poor Angus. SharpMap. So this is a CodePlex project. You download everything. You're doing a GIS application. Now maybe you can't use Virtual Earth because the classic one is like military contractors or something. Where
behind
you need
the firewall.
You need to do this or, you know, some security clearance. This is all open source, all available in .NET languages. So all the open source geospace spatial information, you can take it, play with it. So
right.
Great download, and it's getting good numbers, too. So check it out if you need to do GIS programming. So in the dogs and cats living together, we joined the Apache Software Foundation. Crazy stuff, huh?
Some people would say crazy talk. this is not your father's Microsoft, I think, is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, really. We are financially supporting Apache.
Yeah, I saw Sam present this on Sunday.
Sam Ramji,
present this on Sunday. And I suppose a lot of people in the open source world, you know, say a lot of, you know, software vendors do a lot of talk about open source when they're proprietary source, you know, companies. Microsoft does a lot of open source stuff, appears on CodePlex. I really think what you've got to look at here is not so much, the announcement's important, but look at the deliverables that we're actually already delivering.
Right. So we have that PHP SQL Server 2005, is it?
Yep, so it's an ADO.NET connector for PHP. So,
right.
So you can essentially, for those of you who are more comfortable using PHP, I think sadly include myself in that just at the moment, we'll talk more about scripting languages as we go through today, but you can connect that to SQL Server using some Microsoft open source submitted software.
Yeah, so that's awesome. And that stuff's available for download now.
Download now. But yeah, you're right. Dogs and cats living together.
Yeah. So this is not an April Fool's Day joke. And speaking of randomness, Mojave Experience. So we had talked about Mojave Experiment before, but now they actually launched the videos. So what I've seen is kind of interesting is I really feel like there's absolutely nothing the Windows team could not get thrown under the bus for. Like, they basically said, hey, all these people have a terrible opinion of Vista, have never seen it. Let's show them it and see if their opinion changes. And then people were asking for, like, well, you didn't normalize the sample series on a double-blind study. No, it's just getting people's opinions that they had never tried it, and once they saw it, they were impressed.
Well, I don't get out of bed for anything less than Vista 64, and I'm well-known for that statement. And I'm running Vista 64 a bit right here. I think the interesting thing is that this is a qualitative example of research.
Right.
And it also shows a side of Microsoft showing, you know, what people are saying. And it's not an advertisement in and of itself. It's just some of the raw data. I think it's quite interesting. Interesting experiment.
Yeah, what it shows to me is people that never use Vista, their perceptions of Vista are terrible. Terrible, even if they've never seen it. And it shows when you actually show them it, they'll like it. So random stuff here, talking about the future. So you had mentioned some of the technologies in TechReady, but we have Oslo, Live Platform, ASP.NET, SQL Server 2000, Hyper-V, Home Server, Future of Home Server, High Performance Computing, Windows 7, IE8, Silverlight, a bunch of stuff coming. And when this goes live, you'll see the session updates. But I think the big news here is August 15th.
Early bird registration.
Right.
So leave your birds at home. Grab your cats and your dogs.
Yes.
Your partner, your kids, your grandparents, your children,
yes. Gimp,
your grandchildren.
Or maybe not. Okay.
That was LA. Yeah.
Pulp Fiction. Of course. Yeah, of course.
Pick them all up.
Yes.
And take them to LA in October.
Yes.
And go to PDC.
It's going to be huge. So, at TechReady, I think Mark Rusinovich is giving sessions on Windows 7, like a lot of the same stuff he'll talk about. So, I know people that have seen some of the TechReady sessions that will be PDC sessions, and they love it. So, definitely something to register now. So, in the cool hardware department, this is a robotic receptionist. So, this is something that came out of, I guess it was MSR. They built something that has a camera, actually scans people's faces, can recognize them, says, oh, you have a meeting with, you know, the HR department because you're being fired, Dan, for example, right?
How many times has that happened recently?
So many. It's really kind of terrible. So they'll do facial recognition. They'll be able to see when your meeting is, be able to tell you where to go. So I guess replacing the receptionist with the robot. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I have a couple of thoughts on this, Dan. My first thought is, how are geek guys like me going to meet receptionists? Because let's just... I do know some male receptionists, and I've worked with some, but by and large, they're mostly female. And mm-hmm. my wife, for a period of time, was a receptionist, and that's actually where I met her.
Okay, so you would not be with your wife, or maybe you'd be with a robot. Maybe you'd be happier.
Well, maybe I'd be richer. Sorry, dear.
Yeah.
That's going to get back.
Yeah.
But I think that, so that's one my first point. The second point is that when you think of the software inside of this, with the power of computing that we've got, and,
right.
you know, even my Dell here has, you know, a camera in the front, you're thinking, you know, well, a computer can recognize that you're there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe when you're angry, it knows, you know, don't write emails to your boss while you're angry. It could
It could actually tell you that it looks like you're writing a strongly worded letter to coworkers.
Yes.
Perhaps you, or it looks like you're intoxicated. Maybe you shouldn't text message your ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'd love that. I think it'd be hilarious. But moving right along into other technology at MSR, Sphere. So Laura Foy went and touched this. This was on the Channel 9 forums in the coffee house, and people were talking about applications. I'd love to play Risk on this thing. I think it'd be awesome.
For nothing else. Just watch the video
yes.
for the ball, and Laura's giggling when she plays with the ball. She just plays with the ball. She's just giggling as she's playing with the ball.
So you may not want to use that wording, but let's go to the clip.
Perspective.
Yes.
You can also do funky things like you can send objects directly through the surface. So, for example, from here, if I put my hand on it and hold it, it's going to go to the other side.
Get out of here.
any picture, just hold it on it. There, now it's over here.
It's like a game.
We talked about this a little bit before, and this is.
Is that us?
This is exactly us. This is the view from a Ring Cam device right here, and this is me and you. And you see the ball right here.
That's us.
I'll wave a little bit.
Here. Hi. Woo! Can you see that? That's us there.
Yes. Yeah, so this is a view from an omnidirectional camera, 360-degree camera.
Yeah.
And users can, again, interact with it, view it, and display it here.
Neat.
All right. So pretty classic stuff. Always love it when Laura gets to play with new toys. Brian Keller had mentioned Brian the Build Bunny that Martin Woodward had built, and it's a little robotic, I forget what they're called, the Nabaztag bunnies that are programmable, right? So this guy actually shows how you can program
it. Your build file.
Yeah, exactly. So it looks like you're trying to kill yourself. Stop. So, that's my bunny. That's what mine's.
That's in my head.
The voices! I hate it when the voices in my head argue.
That's a Donnie Darko joke for any of you out there that's seen that movie.
That's a great movie, actually. Okay, so there is a point here. And then this guy goes through how to hack your own robot to suck it into your Team Foundation server, and he does this step by step.
I'd love to buy one of those up to Twitter.
Yeah, it's totally possible.
Yeah. Farewell, farewell, farewell.
See, exactly. It'll let you know, like, you know, it'll get, like, all sad and its ears will come down when Twitter's down or something. It'd be awesome.
I think there's a future in this.
So somebody had actually built a Twitter app that has hydration sensor or something like that. So it was your plant would actually Twitter you when it needed to be watered.
My family Twitters me when they need food or me to go out. Because they do. They don't want Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's scary, too.
Yeah, very scary. A little picture into the home life of Nick Hodge. So speaking of other hardware hacks, Chris Kraft has done a bunch of mobile apps, actually shows how, I guess he just found some way to hack a treadmill at a Silverlight application that does, I guess, dynamic speeding, incline, and stats, all the information out of a treadmill, which I think is pretty cool. Yeah. Especially if you can do, like, the recording of, you know, how many times your distance, how fast you went, all that jazz.
That's so, pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's got pretty graphics, so you can't really go wrong with that. So, picks of the week.
So my pick of the week is F-sharp. There's a little bit of a story here.
Yeah.
At Tech Ready, as you saw earlier, we've been at Tech Ready. They have these Ask the Experts, which is a evening event, usually on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. All these tables with little signs saying, "Hi, I'm here for Windows Server 2008. Mm-hmm. I'm here for Visual Studio," and you go and find the table with the expert. And I knew that there was a table for the DLR and Iron Ruby. Mm-hmm. So I thought, great, I can go and finally get an autographed photo of John Lamb.
Right.
Because, you know, there is a restraining order in that I can't actually do that on campus here. I actually can only do it off campus.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Now, when they write out the restraining orders, is it in feet or meters? Do you have to,
I don't think a kilometer or 1,000 meters, 3,000 feet or thereabouts really matters that much.
Okay.
But anyway, it didn't count. So I was going there, sitting at the table for an hour waiting for John Lamb to come so I could have my photograph taken with him and Iron Ruby, and he didn't turn up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ouch. John, you just lost an Iron Ruby customer. So you went F-sharp.
I went F-sharp. Over on the other table, Luke Hoban with his, brown eyes, just batting his eyelids. And I thought, I've got to go. This F-sharp looks really good. So I popped over on his table, had a chat.
Yeah.
And I'm really getting into this F-sharp stuff.
Luke's got great demos, man. This is one of the things. Luke used to be he's an ex-C-sharp guy, and he's got some great demos, and he shows the before and after for parallelism, the asynchronous programming.
And with some direct 3D stuff. And so I think the application, the asynchronous multi-core programming, all this stuff that's coming over the next few years, F-sharp's going to be, and functional programming specifically, as I heard Anders talk about, is one of the core things that we're going to see. So I'm investing some of my, after-hours time, when most people are normally having a life, I'm going to spend my time with F-sharp. It is going to get productized. It'll be in the next version of Visual Studio.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely spend some time F-sharp. That's my pick of the week.
Cool. Great stuff. Now, my pick of the week is Attila Kishko, Gabor Radke, two of the devs on Add-on Studio for World of Warcraft. So I'm a big World of Warcraft player. One of the things World of Warcraft has is an extensibility layer. So you can actually build add-ons directly into the game, but it's a pain. It's a different language called Lua that's scripting. It's hacking XML files. So this is version 2 of Add-on Studio for World of Warcraft. So you get a Visual Studio experience. So instead of XML files, you get a GUI drag and drop. So you drag and drop a button, you double click the button, you say hello world directly there.
Wow.
It has all the IDE stuff that I can't live without. IntelliSense, statement completion, code snippets. And all this is possible because it's on the Visual Studio shell. Right.
Excellent.
So you get it's literally Visual Studio skinned for World of Warcraft. So we got a demo of these guys showing it in action. So let's take a look.
This is a preliminary version, and this does not have the preview window yet.
Okay.
Which will be in the RTM build.
Okay.
But right now what we see is that I clicked in the property grid. I can now pick any texture that is in World of Warcraft. And I can, for instance, find one. For instance, in the icons folder, there's the ability. So if somebody is a druid, you can just recognize that ability.
You should recognize it.
That is Lacerate.
No, it's Mangle.
No, that's not Mangle.
Icon name is Mangle.
You know what that is? It's MAME, I think.
Well, maybe they have reused it.
No, that's MAME.
You should pass this on Wizard that gives you some more icons.
Mangle is like the small... Well, it's hilarious that we're having this conversation, but I mean, the cool part is, so you have this huge library of images, and then you can literally get the WYSIWYG features for building your add-ons.
Exactly. I think leveraging what's built into World of Warcraft to get a World of Warcraft feel for your add-ons is absolutely required, and this way you can do it very easily.
So I've got to ask a question about World of Warcraft, Dan.
Yes.
I believe you said you're a heavy World of Warcraft player.
Yes, yes.
Does that make your wife a World of Warcraft widow?
No. So actually, she's a World of Warcraft player. So these are the three priorities. It's work, Warcraft, and wife. And maybe not in that order, but it's the three W's that I live by. So, but she plays WoW. She plays WoW all the time.
WoW.
Yeah. Exactly.
Cool. I have to get my wife doing some C-sharp stuff.
Yeah,
it's or NF Sharp stuff. Yeah.
Couples that WoW together stay together. That's really the key thing there. So, okay. Cool. All right. Well, that's all the time. Thanks to Nick for visiting, and thanks everyone.